Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. This week, we're going to talk with someone who owned and operated a fitness gym for almost 20 years, is now a personal masseuse, and actually also runs some online exercise classes that you might want to get involved in.
We'll speak with Bill Kosiaba about his experiences as a blind businessman, the importance of exercise, and about other resources one can find on the Blind Cafe website. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Bill Kosiaba.
A lot of benefits to exercise. Going to a commercial gym is a means of socialization, which is very important because there are a lot of blind people who, because of transportation or whatever reason, they just stay in their little community. Going to a commercial gym is not as daunting or as intimidating as you would think. People are helpful. People are friendly. But if you don't want to go that route, you can exercise at home. You can go to a community center. There are Y's and JCCs and local community centers all over the place that offer different types of exercise programs. And if you choose to do it at home by yourself, that's fine. But exercise is essential for people for the simple reason, and this is beyond the social, the United States is an obese country. And the blind community, that is even more prevalent because we're more sedentary than the average person. There are lots and lots of blind tech geeks out there who sit on their behinds and play with their iPhone and play with their computer, and that's their world, but they need to get up and be physically active. Obesity will kill you. Leads to diabetes, leads to joint problems, leads to all kinds of health issues. And people just need to be more physically active. If you don't want to get into a hardcore exercise program, I'm not saying you got to lift weights and get dead serious, but go take a walk. Contact the local bicycle store and see if there's anybody out there that has a tandem bike that would like to ride with you. Go out and do something. It really doesn't matter what you do, but become physically active. It's good for your body and it's good for your brain. It is about looking better and feeling better. And this is going to piss a few people off, but a lot of blind people don't recognize the fact that they really should be concerned about their appearance because it is a visual world and we're a small part of a great big world. And people will respect you more and take you more seriously if you look like you care about your appearance and you care about yourself.
Bill gave a number of great reasons for getting into an exercise program or at least being a little bit more physically active than you normally might be. And let me tell you, I can really resonate with many of those reasons. We noticed, Nancy and I were just talking this afternoon, how so many of our retired buddies have lost so much weight and have a lot more energy now that they're retired and have more time to be outside, moving around, exercising, and not just sitting at a desk all day.
I spent many years as a couch potato, and once I started getting active and exercising, I've been feeling so much better. I highly recommend it.
And it takes a while to get into those things. If you just exercise once in a while and say, well, I'll do it next Thursday afternoon when I have a chance or when I'm free, I'll try to do it, that makes it kind of difficult. I found that to get into exercise on a routine basis makes it a lot easier to continue. You'll feel a lot better. And then once you're into a routine and you're doing it on a regular basis and pretty consistently, you sometimes miss it. Your body says, wait a minute, I didn't exercise today. I'm feeling a little bit run down or tired. And sometimes when I feel like that, I'll just exercise and immediately I'll have more energy and I'll be more perky for the rest of the day. So you can get used to it. But having a schedule really helps.
Let's start by meeting Bill Kosiaba and learning a bit about his background.
My name is Bill Kosiaba. I am a personal trainer and massage therapist. I live in South Florida. I've been in the fitness industry essentially all of my life.
Many of our listeners and guests are visually impaired. Are you?
Yes, I'm totally blind. I was born with RP and was always legally blind. Never drove, never was able to
do the quote unquote normal things. But growing up, I say I was in denial. My older brother says I was an overachiever. I tended to gravitate towards things that were extremely visual when I was a kid. Astronomy, then coin collecting. Then I got involved in bodybuilding, which is extremely visual, because I became very, very good at not just the working out, but the presentation aspect, the onstage presentation and performance. And actually, I wasn't a very good bodybuilder, but I was very good at the posing and the presentation. And I eventually became a very good coach at that as I got into the gym business.
Now, I understand you use a guide dog now, but did you have some limited vision when you were younger?
Yes. As I said, I was into things like astronomy and coin collecting, which are totally visual.
Mm-hmm.
And my vision just gradually deteriorated as I got older. Such a gradual deterioration that the only time I really became aware of it was if I were to look at something I hadn't looked at in a long time. And it just was a gradual deterioration until I think the last time I saw anything more than light and dark was maybe 2009.
So you said that you're in the fitness business. You run a fitness studio, is that right?
At this point, I do not. I owned and operated a gym, fitness studio, health club, whatever you'd like to call it, from 1981 until 1998. After I closed the business down, I worked as the director of a spa in a hotel on the beach for several years. It was an offshoot of my being a massage therapist. And for the past several years, I've just done massage and picked up the occasional private personal training client. The beginning of this year, I started hosting online workout classes on a blind chat community site called the Blind Cafe.
And we'll hear more about the Blind Cafe in the final segment of this show.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
This week's focus topic is working in the fitness field, everything from sweeping the floors to giving massages to running a fitness facility.
So how did you get into running a gym of your own as a visually impaired person?
I was the classic little fat kid. My older brother was a star athlete in school, and I was the brain because I couldn't participate in sports. Somewhere in my early teens, I was in a quote-unquote special needs PE class, and we did a little bit of weight training. And I was very bad at it, but I decided I really liked it. And I coerced my parents into buying me my first weight set, and then for my 15th birthday, taking me to a real gym and letting me join a real gym to work out there. And eventually, I gravitated towards a much more hardcore gym facility that was owned by a local competitive bodybuilder. And at one point, I mentioned to his father, who had taken over the business, that if he ever wanted to sell the gym, I wanted to buy it. And of course, nobody listens to a 17-year-old kid. But I just had this in my head. My father had owned gas stations. My one uncle owned a body shop up in Connecticut. My mother had owned hair salons.
So you were used to seeing people own their individual businesses and running them.
Exactly. I just had that in my head that this is what my family did. So the idea of having my own business wasn't at all a bizarre concept to me. It seemed logical enough.
Now, I don't generally think of a 17-year-old as having the resources to buy a company from another person.
Well, at that point, it was nothing but a dream. And I didn't have the resources by any means, or the maturity, or the knowledge. But that was the starting point. And what had happened, actually, the gentleman that owned the gym, he kind of took me under his wing. He kind of adopted me, so to speak. That, quite frankly, was the first place in the world I ever felt like I belonged, being in that gym. It was my first real socialization situation where I was accepted by and welcomed by other people, and nobody cared about the vision thing, and nobody picked on me for being the little fat kid because they saw a young kid who was trying to get bigger and stronger, and all these other serious people in there just were very helpful. And it was, like I say, it was the first place I felt like I belonged in my life.
So I guess you sort of worked your way up from the inside.
I guess I did. My first quote-unquote job was a little summer job hanging around in the gym and sweeping up and tidying up the shelves in the health food store and just mostly hanging out. I think he just gave me the job as an excuse and to throw a little money in my pocket and make me feel like I was doing something. And the gym was eventually sold to three of the other members, who by 1981 were down to one. The partnerships had dissolved. And at that time, the gentleman who owned it really wanted to get out. And I had just finished my massage therapy school, which was a year of training, and I was working in the massage field. And I saw the opportunity and I spoke with my family and I was kind of spoiled. They went, okay, yeah, we can do this. And they helped me buy the gym.
Now that you own this gym and here you are being visually impaired, you knew your way around the gym and weights and massage. How did that work out later on? What obstacles as a visually impaired person did you face in order to get this thing really started?
Well, here's where it was kind of interesting. I'm sure a lot of your listeners grew up the same way that I did, if they're visually impaired from birth or from being young, that they kind of were isolated and they didn't really fit and didn't really have places that they felt good about themselves, somewhat awkward in social situations and so on. But now it was my place. It was my house, my rules, which did tremendous things for my self-esteem.
That can make a difference.
It was, you had to be acceptable to me in my facility. I didn't have to be acceptable to you. I just started to develop a lot of confidence because I was dealing with people on my turf, on my level. I made a lot of mistakes. And thank God my parents were there to control the purse strings, so to speak, because as soon as I'd make a little money, I'd want to buy some new equipment or do something to make the gym better. And it's like, no, we're not doing that yet. And well, obstacles, I truly can't think of any huge obstacles.
Now, you think of people going to gyms as being very physically fit and not really thinking about disabilities. What was their reaction to having a visually impaired person running and organizing the gym? Did you face any comments that people made about that?
Oh, there were always comments, but you know, most of it was very light and harmless and, you know, meant in fun. You know, just blind jokes are blind jokes. They're just like any other kind of joke, and I just had to let the water run off my back, so to speak.
But mostly, I guess people figured if you could do the job and the gym was running well, that was okay, just functionally.
Exactly. He's doing a good job. The doors are staying open. The place is relatively clean. He seems like an honest guy.
I'm curious. You've been working as a personal trainer, and when you ran the gym, you had a lot of clients. How do you provide feedback to the other person in terms of whether their technique is correct or not?
Well, that's an interesting question. And actually, that question goes along with a plan that I have in my head to do some YouTube videos demonstrating precisely that. Because that's a common question. Okay, you're a personal trainer, but you're blind. How do you do this? It has to be a hands-on. The person I'm working with has to understand I'm going to touch them. And that's the only possible way. Because I can show you the exercise. I can do it and say, okay, do you understand? And you may pick up your little weights and do what you think I'm doing, but it may be totally wrong.
Oh, I've seen plenty of that in my class.
Oh, I'm sure you have. I've seen plenty of that observing other personal trainers over the years. I used to honestly sit and laugh at some of the trainers that would come into my facility or into the gym that I trained in after I closed my gym when I still would be able to see it. It would be, what are you doing? Why aren't you paying attention to your client? Correct it. And some of them do, some of them don't. And in your class, your teacher needs to open his, her eyes and go, Lisa, over in the corner, turn your wrists in, bend your knees more, stop rounding your back, pull your tummy in, whatever it is. So when I train somebody, I will guide them through the exercise and I will put my hands on them and say, this is where you should feel it. This is where the tension should be. And the person that I'm working with has to understand and accept that I'm going to touch them, has to be comfortable with that, and has to be willing to take correction and criticism.
So it sounds like this ran quite well for you for many years.
I was very proud of the fact that I stayed in an industry that is almost as hard as the bar or restaurant business to stay in for close to 20 years.
Now, you're also a licensed massage therapist, right?
That is correct.
Do you do that out of your home, or you go to a facility, or what?
I work from my home. I have worked in facilities over the years, worked in a variety of facilities, in beauty salons, in spas, in tanning facilities. But I've found that I just prefer working at home if I can. It's a popular vocation for blind people, but it is a difficult industry.
When you say it's a difficult business, in what way do you mean? Is it difficult getting clients, or?
Okay. Massage is a luxury business. When you go to the massage schools, they create this image of being self-employed and making tons of money and being independent. And that's all well and good, but for a blind person to be a massage therapist and do house calls is one of the most impractical things in the world. For me to take my table and a bag of linen and arrange transportation to go to somebody's home to give them a massage, oh, and my guide dog, of course, is just very impractical.
And people aren't willing to come to you in general?
Well, that's what I make people do.
Well, that sounds like it should work out pretty well then.
It can be, but you have to understand, in my area in South Florida, the market is glutted with therapists, which makes the price point a little bit difficult. The price of a massage from when I went to school in 1980 until now is virtually the same.
In your training to become a massage therapist, and you said this is a very popular field for visually impaired people, did the instruction include specific accommodations for blind students wanting to become massage therapists?
Not at all. I went to school in 1980, long before the ADA and before all the things that were required. And I got to just, as a little aside, I found in a lot of cases, I got more support from people before they legally had to do things than I get now because it's the law. But most of the training was hands-on. It was a year's program, and each 6 or 7 hour class day was divided into a half a day in classroom, studying anatomy, physiology, kinesiology. It was essentially the same as the first year of pre-med or a nursing degree. And then the rest of it was hands-on practice, which was very easy because the instructor would have you work on them. We worked on each other. We critiqued each other. So I didn't need to see. The instructor would do the move on me, and then I would do it back on them or on someone else. But that was no different then because you can't really see the subtleties of what somebody's hands are doing, even if you have the 20/20 vision and you're watching. You have to feel it to recognize it.
Well, that's great. That explains one reason why it's popular for blind people.
Well, here's another interesting thing. In Asia, it is a hugely popular and very strongly recommended vocation for blind people. From what I understand, I've never been there, but from what I understand, in Japan, in Singapore, virtually all of the massage therapists are blind.
Now for this week's final item, online personal training and exercise classes. So now you said one of the things you're doing now is running exercise classes online specifically geared to blind participants?
That is correct. Back in October or November, I was playing chess online with a blind gentleman that I'd met online off of another list. And he was very involved at this website called The Blind Cafe. He had a chess chat program on this website. And he said, would you be interested in doing an exercise class? I don't know. Let me think about it. And a few days later, he said, I spoke with Julie, the owner of the website, and some of the other members, and they think it's a great idea. Would you be interested in doing some kind of a fitness program where you could talk about nutrition or you could answer people's questions? Nah, I don't think so. But my good friend Alan is like a tick. When he gets his teeth into something, he doesn't let go of it. And I can't be thankful enough to him for the fact that he did not let go of this. And we decided, okay, let's give this a try. So the beginning of January, we set up a 3-morning-a-week schedule. And this is a website called theblindcafe.net. And it's totally a blind chat community. They have several different rooms on this website that you can go into. There's one with several hundred descriptive movies that are available on demand. There's another one with tons of episodes of old television shows. They're not descriptive, but they're still there. Lots of old TV from the 60s and 70s. And there is a Comedy Zone website where you can click on audio clips of different comedians. And then they have live rooms where they'll do games and they'll do chats on various things, play trivia, do this, do that. All different type of things. And we started doing the Monday, Wednesday, Friday morning exercise class.
And that's at 9 a.m. Eastern?
9 a.m. Eastern, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You go to blindcafe.net. You have to sign up. They'll send you a password. You have to download this conferencing software, which is a very simple click here, and it does it itself. Takes maybe 5 minutes. And all you need is a headset.
And what do you do in this exercise program? What is one like?
So I had to get very creative because this was a whole new thing for me. I know how to train somebody face-to-face. I know how to train somebody one-on-one, even if it is long distance. But training somebody long distance and training a group of people are very, very challenging, both things. When you're dealing with a group of people, you have people at different levels of fitness. So I have the challenge of making the class simple enough for people that are at the beginner level, but challenging enough that it's not boring and I'm going to lose the attention of somebody who's in a little bit better condition.
I actually take a class at my local gym. But what we do is there's a room full of people and we're moving these weights and the people in better shape are moving heavier weights. And so as long as we're all more or less doing what the teacher tells us to do at the same time, we're all getting a workout at whatever level we're at.
Right. But I'm not using any equipment other than occasionally a towel to do isometric exercises with because I don't want people to say, well, I can't afford to buy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of stretching, mobility, some modified yoga type movements, and then body weight exercises like push-ups and squats and lunges and things of that nature. But what we do to increase the difficulty is we'll do things by time. We'll do an exercise and I'll say, okay, I'm setting the timer for 30 seconds of work with a 15 second rest, and we're gonna do 4 sets. So rather than counting, because different people will do a repetition at a different pace and you can't expect everyone to be at the same tempo, we do things for time. And I'll increase the time, I'll decrease the rest, things like that to make it more difficult.
You talked about how you provide feedback and coaching to local clients. How does that work for remote clients?
Well, that's limiting, and I have to rely on offering tons and tons of descriptiveness. And then saying, do you have it? Are you sure you have it? If you've got any questions at all, ask me. In truth, I don't know. But I make a lot of effort to be extremely, extremely descriptive in hand position, foot position. And as we're doing an exercise, I'll say, keep your abs tight, arch your back, stick your butt out, head up. No, stick your butt out more. And I'll point to people in the class verbally. It'll be, Patty, come on. I know you're round in your back. You know, or at least say, stand up straight or you're rounding your shoulders again.
Well, feedback is always helpful, whether or not the person providing the feedback can even see whether you're doing it correctly.
You know, this reminds me of a story when you talk about feedback. When our son was very young, he used to take showers. And of course, the bathroom door was closed and you'd hear the shower running. And his voice would come from the inside. He'd say, did I get all the shampoo out of my hair? Dad, is it all out? And of course, I couldn't see, and I certainly couldn't see through the door, even if I could. But I'd say, no, there's just a little bit more left on the other side, on the left there. And you'd hear the shower running a little bit longer. And he'd say, is it okay now? So just that feedback can be very helpful. His hair actually came out with no soap in it at the end.
Your online exercise class sounds like a great opportunity for people who want to get some physical activity, even if they have trouble getting out of their house. What about people who aren't available at 9 a.m. Monday, Wednesday, Friday?
As I say, I have the recordings. There is a beginner's workout that is full of tons of description. There's a little more advanced workout that still has a lot of description. Then I created, I think there's one called the 8-Minute Fat Burner, which is very intense, and I created a separate file describing each of the exercises. Also did a stretching one, did one on neck pain, did one on fingers and hands. So there's 7 or 8 recordings there that are available that someone can go on the site at any time, click on the recording, and take it at their own pace. So there is still the option if they can't make the class or if they feel like the class is currently too aggressive for them.
Mm-hmm. So this is all at blindcafe.net or on your personal site?
No, this is all blindcafe.net.
What is your personal website?
It is called Kosiaba Fitness with a dash in between because Jaws kills the pronunciation of my name if we make it 2 words jumbled together. And it's spelled KOCIABA-fitness.com.
And what resources can people find at that site?
Okay. We started the site in May. I have a blog which I post on relatively regularly. Initially, I posted several guest posts from people I know in the fitness industry on different things, on nutrition, on mobility and flexibility, on kettlebell training, on strength training. I did a post which I specifically geared towards my blind readers called Selecting the Right Gym If You're Blind, where I went into some of the points that I see as value and some of the things I would suggest to avoid if you're checking out a gym. And I've done several audio interviews.
Is there an email address that people could use in order to contact you?
Absolutely. The email to the website is kosiabafitness@gmail.com. This time without the dash in between the two.
And as usual, all that contact information can be found in our show notes at www.eyesonsuccess.net. And we'll also have a link to the Blind Cafe website that he talked about. And if you register, you can participate in many of the activities that they have on that site.
That's it for show number 1445. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about improving interactions with new technologies. Sean Kane does research on human-computer interactions, also known as HCI, focusing on how visually impaired people interact with computers, how to facilitate that interaction, and how computers can be used to improve their life experiences. We'll speak with him about his recent work to understand how blind people communicate when navigating and about how 3D printers can be used for the blind. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and on audioboo.fm at Eyes on Success or Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.